Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, I'm looking forward to, in just a few moments, sharing with you a message from God's Word that I shared with the congregation at Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. And before we get to that, I thought I'd just tell you a little bit about us. My name is Jesse Wagoner, and I'm the senior pastor at Mount Calvary, and I'm your Bible teacher today. And I want to just say thank you. Thank you for giving your time to listen to the truths of God's Word and to be involved in this opportunity to learn more about Him. So thank you. Thank you. You're the reason we are here. We want to thank you very much for that. And also, if you want to get to know more about us, who we are and all that sort of thing, visit our website. It's calvarywv.com. One more time, calvarywv.com. And there you can not only find out who we are, and if you're in the area, you can come visit us, worship with us. Always welcome for that. But also, you can even get more Bible teaching resources there, both video and audio and a lot of content that we don't even present in this format. So we want to encourage you to do that and to be a part of that. So thank you very much for that. Also, a lot of times when you listen to this type of presentation, somewhere along the line, we're going to ask for a gift. Hey, if you'll send us some money, it keeps us going. Well, we're not going to do that, because this is our gift to you. All the production costs, all the broadcast costs, all that sort of thing is funded by our church, and we put this out as a gift to you. So we don't want anything in return monetarily. We always appreciate your prayers. We always would appreciate your encouragement. If you want to give us some feedback, you can do that at calvarywv.com, or you can also go to this website, this email, I should say, info@calvarywv.com. Just put an info@calvarywv.com, and we'll get that. But we'd appreciate that. And also, something else you could do, you can share with others what you're receiving. Tell them about when this is on, where you're hearing it. If you see our social media content that you're going to find out there, just hit the like, hit the share it with someone else. That would be a big help to us, and we would appreciate that very, very much. Let me share one additional thing with you today. I know many of you get this content either via the radio, or some of you get it via podcasts. But, and again, that's appreciated. But this is an add-on. This is an addition to. This is a bonus feature, if you want to say it that way, to where God really wants us to connect with Him and His Word. And that's gathering with His people in a local church. And you're certainly, if you're in the Charleston area, you're welcome at Mount Calvary. You can go to our website, calvarywv.com, and come visit with us. You'll find a very welcome, because when you're with us, you're going to feel right at home. But find a local church in your area, because even in the days of the Old Testament, they gathered in the temple for teaching and worship. In the days of Jesus, they gathered in synagogues for the days of for times of worship and study. And you need to do that. Find a church that you can fellowship with and be together with other people. Don't let this be a substitute for that. Let's get to our Bible study today. I'm looking forward to sharing God's truth with you starting right now. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. We've read this every time, and listen what God says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. And I'll just stop there for just a moment. So a stopping of work, a day to rest, but I want you to look at the very first word of verse 8. Remember. Remember is an activity of the mind. The activities of the mind connect to our hearts. This is something we need to look at. It's not just rest. I thought maybe, you know, we're going to be talking about finding rest. I maybe just give you 28 minutes to nap this morning. But I thought, you do that later on this afternoon. That'll probably be working better, okay? But you think about rest we need. We need rest for our bodies. We all understand that, right? But rest for our bodies can be found by taking a nap or maybe a vacation. We also need rest for our minds, because we get so wrapped up in certain things. We need to, and sometimes a good diversion or a distraction for something positive can give us rest for our minds. But I want to assure you, if you want to find rest for your soul, you want to find rest for your soul, you need Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It has to connect back to this person that we're in relationship with if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to think about. That's the direction we want to go. And we want to just do this thing of remembering. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it
holy. Keep it special, separate, different, in a category different than the other 6 days of our work. And we'll just talk about how we can then find this rest for our souls. Now, I want to go to a place in the New Testament that's going to kind of illustrate this for us. And I'll give you a moment to turn over there. But I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. And we're going to see in this story this reality of what he says about the Sabbath. We're actually going to pick it up in verse 23 of our text today. A story you know very well, perhaps, and it says something about how we should not participate and think about the Sabbath, what we should not be thinking about in a wrong fashion. But also then Jesus highlights what we should be thinking and how we need to approach this day as we remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 23, Mark 2. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Lord, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" You got to kind of read that with a little tone in your voice, right? You got a little bit of judgmental kind of leaning in tone, right? Verse 25. He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him. He went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests. And he also gave some to those who were with him." And listen, 27-28, this is key. "And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" I just want to focus on those words, and you can put them on the screen there if you will, and just kind of focus on them in your Bible. That is very helpful for us to understand the whole nature and the meaning and how we can remember the Sabbath day and find rest for our souls, okay? Now, you see a few things that are just here in the text, okay? First of all, they were going through the grain fields, and they were plucking off grain. Now, by the way, this was permitted. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 23, 25. If you were a farmer raising a field of grain, you would allow anybody passing by to just pull it off of the hands, and basically they'd rub it to get it out of the stalks and have a handful of grain and just eat it. That was permissible, just to provide for people who needed food. You couldn't stop at the 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee and a whatever you eat at the 7-Eleven, okay? So you could do that. But you were not allowed to go into the field with a sickle and start reaping it, okay? That was not allowed, but this was okay. But it was on the Sabbath. And it says here, but the Pharisees said to him, now these were the people who viewed themselves as the keeper of the law. "We have figured out how to apply the law, and we're going to tell you how to do it, and we will certainly tell you when you are not doing it right." And, "Oh, it's not lawful, you can't be, it's work, don't do that." It was okay to eat, but it was not okay to be picking it off and rubbing it and doing it, because that was considered work. Now, you have to understand that as Jesus gets into this, the Sabbath is not meant to be a burden, but a blessing. It's not desired to put another weight on us. It's desired to lift a weight off of us. So however we celebrate, however we keep the Sabbath in our own lives, however we find rest and how we order our time and days, this is not something that anybody should go along to anybody else and say, "Oh, you're doing it wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing this." We all need to find our own rhythm. And what we need to do is just remember, this is my day to rest my soul, to reconnect with my Lord, and to worship. We're going to talk about that next week, about just the worship component of the Sabbath. But today it's just that rest. We need to just treat this day differently. And it's not about making things harder. It's about making things easier. And we find that for ourselves. And sometimes even in our culture, in our day, there are those people. By the way, the Pharisees did not die out in the first century. They kind of dress up in other names. And if the truth be told, should I tell it? Sometimes all of us have a little Phariseeism in us. We can look down on someone else's behavior and they should do what I do and so forth. Let's lay that aside. This is between us and the Lord. What do I need to be doing? How do I honor Him? And I need to remember this day. This is a day for my soul to rest and to reconnect with this reality. You remember, he talks about in Genesis chapter 2, about the reason for the Sabbath is because this was a pattern that God established. If we keep this pattern that He established, it puts us in sync with His rhythm and His purpose and His pattern of worship. By the mere fact that we stop our work as best we can and we set aside time to rest and have a different sort of experience in life, it's time for us to say, we are doing this for His glory. We're doing this for His purposes. We're connecting to Him. Now, also you see in here where it says, you're not obeying. What is it? They're doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. By the way, if all the disciples did all the things the Pharisees said, and if everybody did all the things that the Pharisees said, if they did it 100% right, and they still didn't believe in the Savior, it would amount to absolutely nothing. That's the reason he gets down to the end and says, I'm the one here. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Don't miss who I am. Connect with me. And that's a good point to say to all of us. You can come to church. You can do all sorts of religious things. You can keep a Sabbath. You can do whatever it is you do. But unless you have believed in the Lord Jesus, you don't have that connection with Him, which changes us now and changes our destiny for all eternity. So if you've never trusted Him as Savior, we would love to have that conversation with you if you think that would be helpful. Or you need to just open your heart and believe that He indeed is your Savior and trust in Him for eternal salvation. Because you can find rest for your body. You can find rest for your mind. But if you want to find rest for your soul, you must have a relationship with Jesus. Okay? So let's think about a couple things. And when he gets into his thing. Now, he mentions this story in 25 and 26 about King David. And this takes place back in the Old Testament. And in this story that's found in 2 Samuel 21, David was on the run. He had some soldiers with him. Saul was trying to kill him. You remember that story if you know that section of the scripture. And they're starving. They have nothing to eat. In the tabernacle where God was worshipped, they were to keep loaves of bread out every day to be a symbol of God's provision. He is the bread of life and that sort of thing. And only the priests were allowed to eat it. And they go there and David says, we're about ready. Do you have any food? He says, all we have is the bread that's for the priests. And they're starving. So he gives it to them, emergency situation, and they eat, and no one got struck dead. The Pharisees have to admit that this is not about, you know, avoiding life-saving, important, necessary things. This is about just honoring God. And he points out the fact that even in this instance, there was no penalty, there was no sanction for them not strictly obeying the Sabbath. And by the way, God never says you can't pull some food off the stock and eat it, okay? That's an extreme example of it. But then get down to 27. This is key. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So if we can pull back from our work on a regular basis and set that aside and spend some time in a non-work situation, that gives opportunity for us to have some restoring our soul. Remember what it says in the second and third verses of Psalm 23? You know what it says? The Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What's the next phrase? He restores my soul. There's that quietness, that provision, that time to have our soul restored. Now, Jesus and the disciples were very busy people. And sometimes, let me rephrase that. Almost all the time, we are very busy people. And sometimes we can get into overload mode, okay? Our schedule is just screaming at us for all the things that are coming up. Our to-do list seems to always be in addition mode, never in subtraction mode. We're nagged by our phone going off about what our next appointment is. It's just rush, 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 rush. And for those of you who have children that are in sports or something like that, I just say God bless you, everyone. It's a hectic life. Those of you that are running businesses, those of you that are, no matter your stage of life, we're all just kind of feeling this press. And he says, what I want you to do to find some restorative of your soul is just take a break from all of that and do it because I am me and do it because I've told you to. And as you do it, you're going to find some rest for your souls. Why do we need it? Well, first of all, I'll give you three quick things I think why we need it. First of all, we face noise pollution. We live in a very noisy world. There's always something going on, always some music playing, always something saying, and now we can just hook our phone up and stick our earbuds in, and we can just have voices and music and stuff. Just it's immediately programmed directly into our mind. We have all of our media. We have all the people we connect with. There's just noise everywhere. And sometimes when there's too much noise, we really can't listen to what God's really doing in our heart and in our lives. So just stop it. Stop the work. Stop the noise. Lay it aside. Pull the earbuds out. Turn the TV off. Get away from the computer. You don't have to read your mail. Just take a break from all that. And do that on a regular basis. And that's what he says. Have a day to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep it different. The second thing is the fact that we have decision overload in our society today. We make decisions, we make decisions, we make decisions all the time. We make decisions at work. We make decisions about our time. We make decisions about our family. We make decisions about how I'm going to order my life. And then if you go shopping today, there's more decision. I remember when I was a kid, Mom would sometimes send me to the grocery store, and I could walk up a little way, maybe about a mile away, and she'd give me some money, and I'd get whatever was on the shopping list, and I'd bring it back to the house. And it was fun to get to do that as a child. And I remember she'd say, go get some coffee. In our little store, maybe I just lived in the really backwoods, okay, but there was like two brands of coffee, and it came in a tin can with a plastic lid on it. That was it. Go to the coffee aisle at your local supermarket today. There's words on those boxes I can't even pronounce. I'm not much of a coffee drinker, but I'm just one example. It's just like, go to the toothpaste aisle. Go to any aisle. We have choice, we have decisions. We just, you know, have that pressing on us. Take a break from all that. Take some time. Maybe the Lord's day is the time. Just say, I'm not going to make any decisions today. Or make the minimal amount of decisions to just get that off my mind. And sometimes we do just have this hurry syndrome. You know, when we're not doing something, not going to the next thing, we're thinking about the next thing we do. And we're just always in a hurry. We're always on the move. We don't have time to stop. We always have three things going simultaneously. Just be unhurried. Do some disconnecting. Because God wants you to. And Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man. This is for your benefit. This is going to help you. And we all know about stress that we get in physically when our mind's on overload and the noise is filling us up and we have decision overload and hurry syndrome and all those sort of things. And it affects our bodies. We can feel it. And if we don't get a break from that, it will grind you down and you will wind up with a broken body and a dispirited mind and maybe a weary soul. Take a break. Take a break. In the sequence of life, find some time to rest because God says, this is the pattern I have for you. It's for you. This is not a burden to be placed upon you. Oh, something else I have to do. No, this is a blessing to you. So to order our lives this way. Now, question. I'm going to ask it twice in two slightly different ways. All right. Number one, first time. Are you planning and accomplishing a weekly time of soul rest? Are you planning and accomplishing a weekly time of soul rest? Do you have scheduled out a time where you can just stop the work? Slow down? And figure out what that works for you. If you're doing back-breaking work all the time, physically, maybe you do just to find an easy chair and sit for a while. Maybe if you spend your time slumped over a desk staring into a screen all day, maybe for you that rest is to take a walk on a Sunday afternoon in the sunshine. Whatever it is, it probably is going to be the opposite of what you do in your work life. If it's all about thought, disconnect from that, or maybe it's the opposite. But find that thing and what God calls us to do, because this is made for you. This is what God wants you to do, what God wants me to do. And it's simply this, to take time to take a break for some soul restoration and to connect it back to the relationship we have with Him. Because we're going to see that in the next phrase, but I'll even mention it now. Because this was the pattern He established at the very beginning. And when we do this pattern, this seven-day pattern, we are saying, Lord, I want to be in sync with Your pattern. And not only to be in sync with Your pattern, but I want to be in sync with Your values. I want to be in sync with Your truth. I want to be in sync with Your purpose. I want to be in sync with Your plan for my life. I want to be in sync with the person You made me to be for Your glory. Remember, we talked about whatever we do it all to the glory of God. We talked about that last week. And even in a rest, we need to do that. Now, I want you to go to the next phrase that you see in verse 28. And this is helpful for us as well. We talked about how pulling back will restore our souls, but to pull back from work also restores the servant as well. Restores the servant. Therefore, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Is the Lord of the Sabbath. If he is Lord, who does that make us? If he is the Lord, if he's the master, what does that make us? That makes us the servants. And if the Lord, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's kind of saying that because you Pharisees are trying to put things in here that don't belong in here, and I want to tell you, I'm the guy that we need to think about. I'm the one in charge. If we're the Lord of the servant, this takes us back to our servanthood, of how we serve. We honor the Lord by serving his pattern. It's his day. It's interesting that in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 9, just before the vision comes to John, he says, I was in the Spirit. I was communing with God. He was finding rest. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The fact that this is the Lord's day makes it special in and of itself. It's his day, a day for him. So we, as we pull back from our work, it's a day that we are restored to be the servants that we can now go out and serve in a way that is pleasing to him. And these guys that he's walking along with, the disciples, they were very much in the front lines of activity. So say it that way. There's also a phrase that's found in Mark 6, and we're not going to take time to turn over there. But it comes right after the disciples have been sent out by Jesus for a time of ministry. They come back. They hear the story that John the Baptist has been executed. So their hearts are struck and they're grieving because of this loss and this thing they never could imagine would happen. And Jesus tells them, he says, come apart with me into a desert place and rest. You got to find some rest for your souls. And Jesus saw that for his servants. And he says, this is what I want you to do. This is what I know you need to do. Now, immediately after that, they go to the place they're resting, and this big crowd shows up, and we have the feeding of the 5,000, okay? But after the feeding of the 5,000, he says, get in a boat, go to the other side, and he goes off into a mountain, and he prays. Now, they do go into a storm. He walks on the water. There's a lot left in the story. But nonetheless, in those two instances, you see Jesus directing them to a time and a place to get some soul rest. Why? Because he wanted them to be the servants he needed to be. If we do not rest for any other reason, we need to rest for the reason that we need to be prepared servants. If we're stressed out, we're mind and our spirits are being crushed by life rather than we are thriving in life because we've spent time with our God, are we going to be fit servants to serve in his kingdom? So, the Lord, we do that by honoring his pattern and preparing us as servants. Now, there's a story that happens in chapter 3. It's the next story. I want to read it, if you don't mind. I want to read this in Matthew's account because Matthew adds a couple other flourishes, if you will, that we don't see otherwise. But this, I think, will help us. And it's about this story where this man was healed on the Sabbath. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 12, beginning in verse 9. It's the same story you see in Mark, so you can follow along there, but there's a couple words I want to get. Now, when he departed from there, and remember, if in Matthew it says the same exact story we just read in Mark. Now, when he departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. This was not about a man getting healed. They weren't asking about this guy for his benefit. They were trying to catch Jesus doing something on the Sabbath he shouldn't have done, like healing a person. If this just doesn't just scream ridiculous, I don't know what does. And this poor guy, he's got a hand that will not work. It's useless to him. It's of no benefit to him. It's a burden. And basically, he's just exhibit A to catch Jesus. That's all they thought about him. Verse 11, then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep who falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Well, duh. Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. So he elevates the doing good even above the strict keeping of the Sabbath. Doesn't mean we shouldn't plan our day for rest, but We are about helping people. We're about serving. And notice what he says. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Every knee should have hit the deck. Every face should have been on the floor and worshiped him as God that he was in presence. But they're all worried about, he did what he shouldn't on the Sabbath. And it says, the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. They were trying to catch him. But this fact that Jesus says, I'm here to do good on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is about doing good, not only on it, but to prepare us to do good every day. God wants us to rest in our souls. For most of us, that probably falls on a Sunday. And I want to encourage you to keep your Sundays, and if your work schedule doesn't work that way, you can shift it to wherever it does work for you. But to find a pattern where once a week you have some time just to rest. Now, this is the third week of the NFL season, in case you hadn't noticed. Some of you probably could care less, and some of you are really excited about that. Last Sunday afternoon, I'm resting, trying to do what I should do. And I flip on the TV, and I'm watching the game that I really wanted to watch. And the team that I liked, it was the lousiest game I've seen in a long time. They did everything wrong. It was bad. It was terrible. And I'm sitting there. And I'm in the middle of it, I'm thinking, this is absolutely ridiculous. I'm supposed to be resting my soul, and I'm fuming at a bunch of overpaid guys running around on a football field in another state. But I got that way. So either I got to change my attitude toward watching football, or I need to turn the thing off, okay? So I'm going to try plan A first, okay? I'll try that first. But we just need to say, whatever's going on, whatever's out there, the thought is, remember this. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it special. I need to have some time where I can just disengage from work, because God gave me that pattern. Disengage from work so I can listen to Him. Disengage from work so I can worship. We'll talk more about that next week, Lord willing. But disengage from work so that I can have my soul restored. Because I need that. And I can have my soul restored so I can be more fit to serve in the role that God has called me to be. And the same is true for you. So it's real simple. Figure out a way that works for you and your life and your work schedule and all that. But just dedicate a time in your week, one day a week, to have a special time to rest. Maybe you need to turn off the noise. Stop making the decisions. Put away the hurry for a little bit. And just rest and listen. Maybe it is that walk through down the street, around the block, or in the park. Maybe for you it's a time to just to be still and rest your body and not be moving around. But find that time. And in that time, remember this. This is the pattern God wanted for you. And remember this. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And remember this, He's preparing a servant through this time. It all comes back to this. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. He wants to give you that rest. Question number two, and you're going to have to answer this before the Lord. Let the Spirit speak to you. Are you planning and accomplishing a weekly time of servant rest? Prepare you to be a servant for the Lord. Seek to rest from your labor. Let Him restore your soul. I want to just read this verse from here in Mark one more time. The Sabbath was not made for man. Excuse me, I read that wrong. Take that out of the tape. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. Father, thank you for your word. Simple truths, not hard to understand, but significant because, Lord, they connect to your purpose and your plan for us. Lord, we overlook this fourth commandment. We don't want to make it something that it is not, like the Pharisees did. We don't want to ignore it because it's clearly in your scriptures.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.